This is KCUR's Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison. It's the second holiday season of the pandemic, and this week some families will gather at Thanksgiving tables spread with feasts and abundance. But pandemic or not, holiday or ordinary times, hunger and poverty remain challenging for many others in our community, and this season is a time when a lot of people think about how we as a community can provide help meeting people's immediate and long-term needs. Today we're checking in on how a few local nonprofits are responding and how they're doing as we hear about supply chain problems and rising food costs and the continuing effects of a public health crisis that isn't yet over. We're going to start this morning with Brittany Rhodes, who is food pantry manager at Jewish Family Services of Greater Kansas City. Brittany, welcome to you.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Thank you.
I'm so glad you could join us. So Jewish Family Services does provide food, but not in an emergency food pantry setting. Remind us of what you do.
Yeah, that's right. We serve everyone, regardless of, you know, race, gender, religion, disability, anything. We welcome everybody. A lot of people are under the impression that because we're Jewish Family Services, we only serve Jewish clients, but we welcome everybody. And we do have a model that's slightly different from the visuals that we've come to be used to as part of the COVID pandemic. You know, food relief is the lines that, you know, are around the block, or, you know, drive-throughs that take hours to get through. And we operate on an appointment model. So we get to know our clients personally. We, you know, only serve them once a month, but we get to know them in that time. And a lot of our clients have been coming to us, you know, for many years, even pre-pandemic. We really do face the, you know, the systemic and chronic hunger issues. And the program that Food Pantry is under at Jewish Family Services is called Kesher, which is the Hebrew word for connection. And for a lot of our clients, the food pantry is the first step into getting additional services at JFS, which Sure. includes social work and case management and utility support, that sort of thing.
And that's what you're able to do because you're not just helping people in the immediate moment of crisis.
That's right. Yeah, we're really about building relationships and getting to know people. And our food pantry as well doesn't do just food. You know, I like to say that unfortunately for me, the food is the easy part. It's all of the other things that go into it, especially where like SNAP and benefits are concerned, that, you know, like toilet paper is not covered under food stamp. And so we provide and people need it. Yeah, it's part of that human dignity thing. And, you know, we're wanting to make sure that people have what they need. And then also because I'm fortunate to work in a agency that I love and do work that I love. We also do the things that are above and beyond. So we get to know, you know, people's Sure. pets and their birthdays and try and provide additional things. So for us, it's not just about holiday food, but it's about year round finding those special moments that are worth celebrating.
Sure.
That's what we like to do.
I wonder, are you noticing more families in need this year compared to years past? Obviously, it's been a pretty unusual year or two here.
Yeah. So from 2019 to 2020, we had a 99% increase in clients served. And at the peak of last, you know, I would say the summer months, we were serving close to 1,100 families every month. And while that number has declined, we're still at almost 800 families a month. And that includes, you know, everyone from newborns up to, you know, older adults. And we provide services for all of those in between. So the need has not gone away.
So I'm curious how well you have been able to keep your supplies up. We've heard about supply chain problems in various aspects of American life. We've heard about rising food costs. Do you have enough food and supplies to give out?
We have a phrase in the food pantry, which is we always have enough to share. Which is, you know, one of the core values of how we operate in our agency. It might not be as big of a variety as going into your local supermarket, but, you know, we make sure we cover the basics and then some. And we're fortunate to have great partners throughout the community agencies as well as individual donors. And about 50% of our inventory comes from individual donors, and we really rely heavily on them, including our you know, we have great volunteers who help make all of this happen, and a lot of them have gotten in the habit of asking over the pandemic times and saying, what do you need this month? And they, you know, add on a few extra cans of what we need for their shopping items. And it doesn't take a lot, but if we all do a little bit of something, it really makes a big impact.
We obviously, we're not out of the pandemic. The public health situation is not completely over, but my sense is that some things are returning to something more like normal. Has that affected your levels of need? Are people are fewer people coming your way looking for assistance, or is the need as great as ever?
I feel that the need is as great as ever. And for us, it's a lot of our clients are coming to us for food as the start and then getting resources for additional support. Most of our clients who are coming to us now are asking for help with rent and utilities, childcare, healthcare. We want to do as much as we can, but there's larger issues at hand that are beyond the food. So while we like to be able to provide, a turkey and, mashed potatoes to everybody, that's not what they need. That's an immediate need and it's something that feels good. But a lot of our clients need bigger support than what we're able to provide just from the food pantry.
Yeah. Remind us where you're located and if there are people listening who could benefit from the assistance that you offer, what do they do?
Yeah, I love to talk about the food pantry. It's one of my favorite hobbies. And we love getting people connected. We really want to take away the stigma of coming to a food pantry. We all get hungry. We all, take our turns needing help. And JFS would be happy to be a part of that. And, most Americans are only $400 away from some sort of crisis that they wouldn't be able to cover. And while we don't have that $400, what we have is resources to additional services that help us, get to the next step so that we're not in series of crisis modes in our families. And the best way to connect would be through our website, which is jfskc.org, or by calling our primary number, which is area code 913-327-8250. And that's for people who are looking for services as well as people who are looking to donate. Because just because the holidays are here doesn't mean that we're not already planning ahead for the new year. And when kids go into winter break and then into back to school in January, we're looking to feed families all year round.
Sure. And let me ask one more question. Are you looking for volunteers, folks who can actually help you out?
We're always looking for volunteers. JFS is a multi-service agency. So I like to say that because one of our locations is at the J and there's a workout rooms down here that instead of doing your workout, you can come work at the food pantry and help us load boxes. We would love to have volunteers. We do have a vaccine requirement at JFS and I like to say proudly have 100% vaccination among our staff and volunteers. So that is a requirement. And we serve all different ways. And our volunteer program includes work from home opportunities as well. So we have a program called Calling Connections, where volunteers connect with people who are homebound. And then we also do other more physical work as well. And then everything in between. We would love to have volunteers get connected with us, especially going into the new year. I know everyone thinks Great. Of us in the holidays, but the rest of the year is important too.
And I hear that a lot from nonprofit leaders that it's not November and December that you need to be thinking about. It's February.
That's right. My favorite volunteers start on February 1st. That's right.
Brittany Rhodes is food pantry manager at Jewish Family Services of Greater Kansas City. Brittany, thanks for taking a few minutes with us this morning.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. And joining us now in the studio is Sue Fenske. She's executive director of Nourish KC. Sue, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
And it's so nice to have people in the studio. Yeah. I'm glad you're here.
I know. It's exciting.
So, Sue, remind us about Nourish KC. Where are you located and what do you do?
Well, what we do is food. We have three major programs. Probably the one people know best is Kansas City Community Kitchen, which is at 8th and Paseo. Downtown. We serve a hot, made from scratch meal every weekday between 11 and 2. And we're there every weekday, whether it's a holiday, Snowmageddon, we're there.
and we'll talk about all three of your programs, but how many people do you serve with that program?
It's grown tremendously. This year. Last year, we did a total of about 87,000 prepared meals. Wow. This year, we're going to be pushing 150,000 meals. Wow. And next year, we have a pretty ambitious growth plan for the next 3 to 5 years. But next year, we're aiming for 220,000 meals.
Wow, that's like 4,000 meals a week.
Indeed.
That's incredible.
Indeed.
So in addition to the prepared meals, you have another program that actually saves food in the community.
Indeed. That is our food rescue program. And we work with grocery stores, restaurants, wholesalers, local farmers to rescue usable food and keep it out of the trash, basically. It's food that's perfectly healthy, perfectly good, and but for whatever reason, a retailer or wholesaler just can't sell it. It's, you know, funny shape, it's got a little bruise on it somewhere, but we take that food, we bring it back to Kansas City Community Kitchen. We use that to prepare the meals that we serve. And then we also share about 60% of what we rescue with neighborhood pantries throughout the city to get that produce, dairy products, some prepared foods, meats on occasion, to get that food to families in their neighborhood.
You know, to hear you talk about this, it makes it sound like there is not a shortage of food to go around. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting the food to the places that it's needed.
Oh, absolutely. That is a huge issue. Food insecurity is in every neighborhood in Kansas City. That's one of the challenges, is sort of trying to dispel this myth that it's only in certain neighborhoods, it's only people who are visibly poor. No, every neighborhood in this community has people living next door that are food insecure, and we serve anyone who shows up at the door.
Your third program is actually a training program that also involves food.
Correct. We leverage our kitchen to work with older teens, 16 to 19, to train them in culinary skills so that they have a marketable skill that they can go out and find a job in the restaurant industry or really anywhere, because while we teach them how to chop carrots and, you know, do whatever, what we really teach them are work skills, why it's important to show up on time, how to deal with conflict in the workplace, things of that nature.
Yeah. So it's not just about providing food. It's about providing an experience that's going to create a more sustainable, healthy life for people down the road.
Correct. And one of the sort of unique features of this program is about half of the teens in our program are kids in state foster care. And so they are getting close to the point where they will age out of care.
And suddenly be on their own.
And unfortunately, a very high percentage of teens who age out of foster care end up in homeless shelters. So our goal with this program is to give them the opportunity to save a little money. They get a stipend while they're a student in our program. Save a little money so that they'll have the ability to put a down payment on an apartment and also have a skill that would allow them to have a paycheck so that they can pay that rent and they won't be homeless.
So, Sue, how did the pandemic affect the work of Nourish KC, and how is that changing now?
I think the pandemic impacted us just like it impacted everybody. We closed the dining room at Kansas City Community Kitchen in March of last year. And we've been very conservative in planning to reopen, but I'm really excited to say that we are reopening the dining room at Kansas City Community Kitchen on Thanksgiving, and it will continue to be open from that point. But in addition to having our eat-in option, we're going to continue to do carry-out meals, too, because our guests have indicated to us that they want that.
Are there things that you are short on? If food is amply supplied, what do you need?
You know, supply chain issues affect every aspect. So cleaning supplies so that we can sanitize and keep the facilities safe for our staff, for our volunteers, and for our guests. We have been doing carryout meals. That has been a real challenge recently, finding the clamshell
the to-go
containers.
Boxes.
Right.
Yeah.
Bottled water on occasion is almost impossible to get.
Really?
Yeah, it's been crazy. So, but we've been really lucky to have community partners that have stepped up and shared some of their supplies with us when we've gotten low.
So you mentioned that you think you'll serve 150,000 meals this year. You're on a track to serve 220,000 meals next year.
Yes.
That must take a lot of volunteers, a lot of help.
Yes. Nourish KC has a total staff of 10 people, and only 5 of those work in the kitchen. So, and also we run our dining room as a restaurant. So people are met at the door, welcome. They are escorted to a table. They order from a menu. They're served at table. And that's not possible without the 25 to 30 volunteers every day that do that work.
So, Sue, if people are interested in getting involved, what do they need to do? Where can they find more information?
Well, they can go to our website, nourishkc.org. They can click on the Get Involved tab, sign up to be a volunteer, and then you will see a calendar of all of the available volunteer shifts, and you can just sign yourself up. But if you want to talk to somebody about it, and particularly if you're interested in bringing a group to volunteer, give us a call at 861-8920.
All right, that's Sue Fenske. She's Executive Director of Nourish KC. Sue, thanks so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, let's visit with Doug Langner. He's in charge of food operations at Bishop Sullivan Center. Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So Bishop Sullivan Center has a couple of locations in Kansas City. Remind us where you are.
Sure. We have two locations, one in Midtown at 39th and Troost, the other in the Northeast at Truman Road in Bennington. And our main motto and mantra is that we help people with food, jobs, and aid.
And what all does that mean? How do you do that?
Yeah. So food, most especially similar to like what Sue was mentioning, we have a community kitchen called One City Cafe. A few years back, we totally transformed it into a restaurant, you know, so it's restaurant type dining, and the space looks like a restaurant in the crossroads. And so we serve lunch and dinner. And then we also have two food pantries that we normally serve about 1,000 families per month and at both locations. Then we also have a jobs program. So most especially so for anyone looking for a job, but especially for people that maybe have come out of some kind of incarceration, and then aid. It's just a matter of also keeping people housed, lights on, heat on, water on, and things like that.
Well, and so that's something that that Brittany mentioned as well, Brittany Rhodes of the Jewish Family Services of Greater Kansas City earlier, that the sometimes food is not the only or the greatest need in a particular household. Sometimes they need money to pay their bills.
No doubt about it. All of these things go hand in hand. That there's a catchphrase called food insecurity, and it's a very real thing, but it leads into deeper issues of what I would call nutritional insecurity, job insecurity, in income insecurity. And so it's just a lot of different things that if, you know, to really get people out of maybe a rut that they've been in, and I think a lot of people can understand that over the last few years, not just those who have been chronically affected by poverty. But yeah, it's just things go hand in hand, and trying to create relationships to move people's lives forward.
You know, Doug, here we are. We're talking about this the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. This is the time of year when a lot of people start talking about food insecurity or about hunger in the community. Obviously, this isn't the only time people are hungry. How do the holidays affect your work for better or for worse?
Sure. It's probably in our world, it's probably the busiest time of year. And much of that's a good thing. I bet we pull in As far as food drives, I bet we pull in 80% of our food this time of year, which is fantastic. Wow. The only thing I would say is, one, we get tired come Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is a good thing because it doesn't only help us then, but it normally helps us for months to come. And so every type of canned good that comes in now is a dollar save down the road when we need to order for the full year, because obviously hunger and other things like that is a year-round issue. So, you know, it's a good thing. What I might suggest to some people, especially if they're just thinking about it, which is great during this week where people are thinking about how to give thanks and how to give back, you know, enjoy this week with your family, but make a plan come February to maybe then think about it. Cause that's, I think, when a lot of agencies, you know, start seeing some other shortages that, you know, don't come from this time of year. This is a time of abundance, which is fantastic.
Do you have a sense, Doug, of how inflation is affecting need, how higher food prices, milk and produce, higher gas prices, we've been hearing about that too, how that's affecting the community that you're trying to serve?
Yeah. So a couple things. First, we are seeing that looking at our food orders, it's definitely gone up. The prices of meat and milk and dairy and all of that, everything's gone up. What I would say is, so far, boy, Kansas City's a generous community, and I'd imagine many communities are. We haven't needed to like cut back, if you will. Obviously, we're always looking at ways to save. So different donations are always great, and we work with our partners to make them ensure that they know where this food is going, that it's not being resold. It's going to someone that's food insecure or nutritionally insecure. And so it's, you know, we always manage, I think. I think it's one of those things that in our line of work that we're always looking for new ways to ensure we have quality for the people we serve and doing it the best way possible. And there's so many generous partners out there, both individuals, businesses, and just different groups out there that try and say, hey, how can we help?
So if some of those generous people or groups are listening, what should they do? How can they get in touch or learn more about the Bishop Sullivan Center?
Sure. Definitely go to our website, bishopsullivan.org. And then if they want to get involved too, they can go in and get involved and volunteer. And that also shows a whole calendar of volunteer opportunities they have. I'm going to say, hey, if you wouldn't mind trusting us with a few of your dollars, we can buy things at wholesale. So we can make your dollar stretch instead of you going to Aldi or Costco and buying that can. We generally can get it at wholesale price and make that can stretch in from one can to two cans. So, you know, they can certainly donate online at bishopsullivan.org if they are so compelled.
That's great. Doug Langer is in charge of food operations at Bishop Sullivan Center. Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And earlier we were joined by Sue Fenske of Nourish KC and Brittany Rhodes of Jewish Family Services of Greater Kansas City. Three great organizations doing good work in Kansas City at this time of year.